Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Coach White, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me here, Keith.
Coach, let's get started and get a little bit into your background here. What made you want to be a football coach?
Well, when I was growing up in East Texas, my dad was a football coach, and probably just like any young boy, you kind of admire and hold your dad in high regard. And I always enjoyed watching the way he was able to interact with the guys and lead his team each Friday night there in Texas. And that was just something that, I guess it was just in my blood that's something I wanted to do. And I've been fortunate to be able to live that dream throughout my life.
Where did you get your start in coaching?
When I finished playing at Texas A&M University of Commerce, back when I was there, it was called East Texas State University, and got a job as a volunteer assistant or a student coach at Texas State University back in 1994, I think was my first season there. And so from there, I was able to get a graduate assistant's position at Louisiana Tech for the 1997 season, and then moved on to a couple other full-time gigs and ended up at Southwest Baptist University as a quarterback coach, and spent a couple years there in Bolivar, Missouri, and moved over to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and spent 5 seasons as a special teams coordinator at Southeast Missouri State, a couple years at Belhaven University, and then a season back in East Texas at Brownsboro High School, and from there, the last 9 seasons at Center College as the offensive coordinator. So U-Haul has been on speed dial a little bit, but we've enjoyed the adventure, no question.
Coach, what were some key things you learned in those early days as a coach?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. There's a lot of little things you pick up from different people along the way. The coach that I worked with at Southwest Baptist was a great fundraiser, and he was a great bridge builder with the different departments across campus, from the faculty to the financial aid and admissions folks. His name was Dennis Rowland. And so I got a lot of that kind of those little nuances from him as far as building bridges and winning friends into your program. A lot of X's and O's I learned from the offensive coordinator I spent time with at Southeast Missouri State. He's the head coach out of Colorado Mesa now, Russ Martin. Brilliant offensive-minded guy. And then a lot of the special team stuff I got from Tim Billings, who's the assistant head coach at Southern Miss now. A lot of guys, along the way, have really helped me to define my philosophies as a coach. Probably the most influential on me has been Andy Fry, the head coach at Center. I mean, you talk about a guy who I heard Tom Herman say that he spent a couple years at Ohio State in head coaching school. Well, in regards to the Division III model, I've spent the last 9 seasons at head coaching school under Coach Fry there at Center College. So hopefully we can get some of those same philosophies and same principles and same character building traits going down here at Birmingham Southern and right at Center College.
Obviously, you have have some good guys who your philosophies have developed out of. Now, what are you carrying into Birmingham Southern, and what's going to be your philosophy there?
Well, basically, first and foremost, we're going to just try to develop leadership skills in young men, develop opportunities for them to put themselves in position to encourage and influence the people around them, whether it be teammates, whether it be just the general student population, whether it be the faculty and administration on campus, and just the community in and around the Birmingham Southern campus. We want to have an impact on the people and things that are going on around us. We want them to be able to be involved in the entirety of the campus as a whole. You know, I want our guys to be involved in student government, and I want them to be able to be involved in Greek life and all the different organizations and that are available to them on the college campus. You know, we talk to them a lot that we don't want to own them as student athletes, especially at the Division III level, where, you know, these guys are not on scholarship per se athletically. They may have won some merit money because of academics, but, you know, this is, as we say, is a volunteer army that these guys are looking for a more holistic experience in their college experience, and they need to be able to be a part of all the campus community. And that's how you kind of develop those leadership traits and those character traits that can influence and impact people around you for the good. And when you start having that kind of effect on people, I think the winning and the losing will take care of itself, because you're going to have guys that are confident, guys that are not afraid of adversity. They know how to respond to adversity. They're used to being assertive and dealing with those things, being proactive, anticipating the things that could go wrong and how to respond to them to right the ship. And they're poised when those adverse circumstances come about. To me, that's how you start winning championships.
You obviously had a lot of success at center in developing an offense that was pretty explosive. You finished number 8 in the country this year at 508.6 yards per game, which is outstanding. Obviously, it's way more than the X's and O's, that you build a culture even within your own unit, and obviously now you're going to build a culture within a team. So, Coach, what are some specific things you do to build culture?
Well, one is you recruit great players, you know, guys that have great athletic ability and guys that are very talented. Two is, you know, the morale of the team has got to be high, and they've got to understand that it's not going to always be, you know, it's not just going to be roses and smiley faces all the time, but there's going to be times where you've got to deal with some negative aspects of the game. One of the things that we always tell our guys, you know, the way you keep those high pressure moments and the way that you're able to stay poised and calm in those crucial moments that occur throughout a game is, you know, whether you're having success or whether you're in a bit of a rut in the course of a particular game, it's got to be one play at a time. You can only execute one play at a time. And the way you keep that pressure from getting on you is, no matter what happens, good or bad, you've got to execute the scheme within the next play. You've got to hone in on those techniques and just the details of the play, the details of the assignment. And when you get in that groove to where you're really kind of humming and things are going well, the way you continue that is you continue to execute as you have been, focusing on those details. And when it's gone bad and you've had a couple of negative plays, the way you get out of that is you execute those details and do the things that you're coached to do. And we always tell our guys, you're not going to be more excited than the opponent. You're not going to be, you know, you talk about heart, you know, and you know, this is kind of a philosophy of mine, is that when coaches say, we just had more heart than the other team, you know, when we break down film on Sunday morning, you don't look at it and say, man, we just didn't have enough heart on this play. We just didn't want it bad enough on this play. We always look at something that went wrong. There was some sort of poor execution on the play, some sort of mental error on the play when it didn't go down well. And it's not about all that emotion. We try to remove the emotion. It's fun to play the game, but all that coach speak of wanting it more, or, you know, we're going to be more excited than the opponent or whatever the case may be. You know, all that stuff had to have happened back in January and February in the training and Tuesday and Wednesday in the practice execution. Because when you get out there, if you don't know your assignment and you don't have the ability to execute that assignment against your opponent, then, you know, you're going to try to find some kind of excuse as to why, you know, and that maybe we didn't have the heart or we didn't want it bad enough or whatever. To me, when you can play with poise and you can play with just a calm demeanor and understand what your assignment is and how to execute that assignment, and you compound that with great talent, that's the recipe for success. And I don't care what level you're at, that's the bottom line.
And obviously those details that you mentioned, they need to be coached. What are the best things that you and your staff do to coach the details that help your players have that success on Saturday afternoons?
repetition. We do it over and over and over. We tell our guys, hey, look, we're going to be better at running our offense than the defense is at stopping our offense. We're going to have had more reps at executing our plays than the opponent has at stopping our plays. You know, you can go back through and look at game plans from as far back as they go, you know, and you're going to see that we're going to run the same plays that we ran 8-9 years ago. We're going to run in the first game of the season this coming season, and we're going to be really good at them. And it's all about getting good and knowing exactly what you're seeing and what you can expect from the other side of the ball. And then, you know, with repetition, when guys get out there and they start knowing, okay, every day we're going to go out there, we're going to do this noose drill. Every day we're going to go out here and do this pat and go drill. Well, they can start kind of getting relaxed, and maybe the effort isn't as – there's not as much of a sense of urgency in some of those everyday drills. And that's where we preach about practice through boredom. You know, you're going to get bored. You're going to know what to expect, and you have got to visualize the rep happening within the drill and practice through that boredom of knowing that, okay, yeah, here it is. It's Tuesday. I know that this drill's coming. I know we're going to do this today. And you've got to go 100% to create those habits of how to execute those plays during that drill. And that's just where the coaches have to do a great job of making sure that guys are doing those details correctly and executing those details correctly in those drills as we repeat every single day the things that we know we're going to see on Saturday. One thing is we don't go out there and run a drill just for drill's sake. Every drill we're going to do is going to be something that's common to the game. You know, we're not going to – I don't want to look up and see the running backs, you know, over there working on something that they may not do in the course of a game just because some running back coach back in 1950 come up with a drill, and that's just been kind of a common drill that guys have done throughout the game. I challenge our coaches to just even not just think outside the box, but completely remove the box at all from your thinking and come up with drills that give your guys the opportunity to be successful for something that they're going to do on Saturday and not just go out there and run a drill just for the sake of running a drill. So we spend a lot of time on those types of things and making sure that the repetitions are done over and over and over so that it's just kind of muscle memory when we get out there on Saturday afternoon.
Coach, what's the main philosophy and how would you describe your offense?
I'd say we're tempo. We play fast, but you know, at the same time, we don't want to play so fast that, you know, I never want to put a square peg in a round hole. You know, we're going to, execute our offense in a way that gives us the best chance versus particular scheme and just make sure that we're running a sound play into whatever defense we may be seeing. There's nothing magical or special. You know, I've told the guys here, they were excited about, you know, the opportunity to run this high powered offense and whatnot. And I told them, I said, guys, there's not magic plays. There's not, you know, we're not, you can look at our film and you can see that they're not doing anything that anybody else isn't doing. It's just a matter of the way that we execute those plays and the way that we've put ourselves in position physically and mentally to be successful. And that's the philosophy, is just to be able to execute according to whatever is called and whatever the defense gives us, we're going to execute the play and that's how we make it happen.
Coach, if I was to sit in a clinic and listen to you speak about your offense, what would be the one thing that I would take away is saying, wow, this is really unique to them. They do this a little bit differently.
That we don't think we're very special, that we don't think we have any kind of magical identity we're not very flashy. We've got good players that execute these plays. You know, I can't give you a whole lot of coach speak in regards to, like I said, you know, it's simple. We're going to run the inside zone. We're going to run the outside zone. We're going to throw our quick game. We're going to throw our vertical game. And you can watch any film, and you're going to say, man, they're running the same plays in every game. it's nothing flashy. It's nothing special. And I think the thing that you would take away from it is, wow, that's pretty basic stuff that they're doing. They're just good at it. That's the magic, in my opinion, is that we're just good at what we do. We're not trying to be somebody that we're not. The system is built to where we can do things that are geared toward the strengths of our personnel. We don't, you know, if we've got a particular skill set, then we can adjust the system to that skill set. We don't have to go out and find guys and paint ourselves into a corner if we don't have, you know, one particular position that's good. You know, we don't look up and say, we just don't have good receivers or we just don't have a good running back. You know, we can build this thing around what our skill set is. And, you know, you can go back over the years and look and see that I think 2 or 3 years ago, we were one of the top teams in the nation in rush offense. And this past year, I think we were one of the top teams in pass offense. You know, it just, we had a different personnel and we built it around the strengths of that particular personnel for that particular season. And you can look at games and see that some games we rushed the ball for a whole bunch of yards and some games we threw it all over the yard based on what the defense was doing to us. And we don't try to pigeonhole ourselves into being one specific thing. I had a coach kind of give me a hard time. He said, you got to be one of the most OCD guys I've ever gone against. I was like, what do you mean? He said, every one of your tendencies is 51 to 49% run pass. And I said, that's great. It's not intentional. It's just, that's the way it works out. We look up there, we see what somebody's trying to do to us, and we try to exploit that. And when our players are good and know what we're doing and we don't make mental mistakes, we have success with that. And when our players have those mental mistakes, or if the other team's players are better than ours, then, you know, a lot of times you struggle. But that's the bottom line. I wish I could give you some kind of magic formula or there was some kind of special deal, but it's just not. It's just that simple.
Well, obviously, you've mentioned, you know, the repetition and paying attention to what you do in practice. So, you know, scripting those things obviously becomes important. Game planning, the amount of plays you're going to carry becomes important. So what would you say is, you know, the amount of plays that you want to carry into a single game and, you know, obviously not have carried too many into it, but also have the answers that you need?
Yeah, our system is funny in that regard, in that the way we practice it, we really try to teach the concepts and not so much the plays. We want the guys to understand what outside zone is. We want the guys to understand how to execute our vertical passing game and not just, you play running back, this is what you do on this play. Or you play X receiver, so you have this route on this play. We really spend a lot of time on teaching the concept of the play so that they, you know, you hear guys talk about football IQ, and we really spend a lot of time on working on the guy's football IQ and trying to teach them those little nuances of the game so that they understand why they're doing what they do, not just what to do on a play. And that way, when little things break down within a play, you know, when you get out, you know, and there needs to be a little tweak or adjustment, they understand what's going on with that. You know, we really try to focus on that stuff and putting them in situations in practice that we practice a lot of situational things, you know, whether it be down and distance, whether it be clock management situations. You know, I was watching the Lions play the other day, and the guy's catching a field goal or catching a kickoff return, and he knew that if he put his foot out of bounds and grabbed the ball inbounds, then it was going to be an outside, you know, the kick was going to have to – is going to be a penalty. The kickoff would have been considered going out of bounds, even though he fielded the ball in play by putting his foot down. We're going to go over that stuff at you know, those type of nuances of the game to make sure that our guys understand exactly situational things that they can do to put themselves in a position to be successful. A big situation that often occurs, it's not a 100% tendency, but it's a very common tendency, is that once you, especially with a tempo team, once you get driving, you're getting a good drive going, they're scrambling and trying to get lined up. You know, I feel like that every defensive coach that I've ever been around, his number one priority has always been getting his guys lined, getting his guys aligned in, you know, whatever depth or position pre-snap get aligned, whatever technique. So once you get that initial first down and you're really flowing and you get down the field, a lot of times once you get down into the red zone, those guys who just kind of want to be over there and get lined up, you get down that red zone, a big tendency for a lot of teams is that's where they're going to bring pressure. They're going to bring a lot of pressure down there in that red zone. And so we kind of have it, you know, I typically kind of have it in the back of my mind that when I'm playing a team and scouting a team, to see that, to try to see if that red zone tendency to blitz is there. Because once you get that drive going and you get that first down and you're up there and getting set and you're up there and getting set and you're up there and getting set and getting those balls snapped, all of a sudden you look up, you're down in that red zone area and you've been either running the football or throwing your quick game or whatever the case may be. And you get down there and if it can synapse in your brain, okay, I'm down in here tight. He's fixing to make this adjustment. That's where we will get into a formation that their tendency is when you're in this formation, they want to bring something. And we will intentionally get in those formations to try to draw them in and calling whatever kind of blitz beater play that we have, whether it be a screen or taking a shot over the top of it or whatever the case may be. And we will intentionally try to bait, if you will, the defense into bringing whatever pressure we need down there in that red zone. So many times, you know, that field gets condensed down there and it's hard to run the ball and there's not enough space to throw the ball. So let's try to dupe them into bringing some pressure because that's their tendency. That's what their philosophy is. And now we have a chance to put that square peg in the square hole because we know we're going to call a play based on their tendency to bring pressure down there in that red zone. So that's just one of the things that we might look at on a particular week.
Coach, kind of, I know we don't have a whiteboard or video, but kind of walk us through the setup of one of those plays, what it might look like from a formation and your execution, your assignments, up front, receivers, et cetera.
One of the big things is you get into an empty formation down there and they feel like, okay, they're going to play a little catch man coverage, play off about 8 yards, but still play man so that they can rally down and they don't have to worry about getting beat over the top because the field is so short. So they're going to bring like two linebackers, play a four down look, play zero man coverage and bring two linebackers in the A gaps or something to that effect. If we know that that's a tendency of theirs, once you get into empty, we'll jump in that empty and we'll draw up a little quarterback power play or maybe slide of protection and have the quarterback roll with the slide away from the outside defender and be able to, you know, take a shot on a linebacker that's having to play man coverage on. And, you know, with the formation, you can create a mismatch, putting a really good receiver on a linebacker that's playing man coverage with no help over the top. Those are a couple little, I'd say, tricks that we might employ in a red zone situation.
Yeah, those are good concepts, and I agree. And, you know, you have that tempo team rolling down the field. And like you said, if you can have the wherewithal to think of it, once you start hitting that area, then you can call those types of plays that give you the advantage and get you in there instead of trying to fight for those tough yards all the way to the end zone. Because it does become tougher. And you look at teams, you know, their opportunities when they get in the red zone are not always 100%. You know, just because you're there doesn't mean you're going to score. You start running out of vertical space. They can do things to stop the run game a little bit better, and it's tough. So I like that wrinkle. I like those ideas. Coach, this next segment, we're going to shift the focus a little bit into what we call lessons in learning. So it's our chance to talk to you about some things you've experienced and what you've learned, and hopefully our listeners can extract some lessons for themselves. So the first one, let's go all the way back to the beginning for you. And what's a mistake you made as a young coach, and what did you learn from it?
I tell this to every coach I've ever hired. When I was a GA at Louisiana Tech, you know, GAs work crazy, stupid hours, and there's a lot of lack of sleep and whatnot going on. And I was at Louisiana Tech. We were getting ready to play Auburn early in the year. And I would bring in, this is back in the VHS tape days, and I was bringing in cut-ups and bringing in videos and giving them to the staff to go over. And as I would make a label, I would just write you know, with a pen on the back of the label, whatever the cut up might be. And, Bronco Mendenhall, who's the head coach at Virginia now, he sat me down one day. He said, you know, I want you to look at something here. I said, okay. And he handed me one of the Auburn cut-ups that we had exchanged, and he handed me one of the cut-ups that I was making. He said, what are you noticing the difference of this, these two tapes? And I said, well, the Auburn is typed. It's the label is typed. The helmet is in color. It's got a nice little Auburn helmet decal on the label. It's got, you know, when the game was played, where it was played, who the tape belongs to. It just had a lot of information on it that, that was just more organized and just more professionally done. He said, when we send this out, this is saying that this is the best that Louisiana Tech can do. And you're the one doing this. So you're the one that's representing our university with the work that you're sending out. And when Auburn, this SEC school, when we look at this and it's nice and professional and clean and looks sharp, it kind of makes us look bad. He said, no matter how small the task, you need to take pride in what you're doing. And pride is that no matter how small the task is, your signature is attached to the end result. And that really resonated with me. And from then on, all of our labels were typed. All of our labels had a logo on them. All of our labels were done much more professionally. And that is something that, that I learned in one morning there in Ruston, Louisiana, sitting there with Coach Mendenhall, that from then on, you know, everything that goes out of our office, I want to be as sharp as possible. I want it to represent whether it's Birmingham Southern or whether it's been Center College or whether it's been any of the other stops along the way. I want when something comes out of our place that it looks like these guys really get it. They really understand what it takes to be a special place. I think coaches that do that attention to detail that we're talking about, I think that just sends a message also to your players that, look, every detail matters. And it doesn't matter if you're just making labels for cut-ups or if how you stem a route or how you read a defense or how you get aligned in a coverage. All those details matter. And you find a way to get that message across to your players every opportunity you can. And that's one of the ways that that we do things. And that was a mistake that I made or a lesson that I learned early in my career that still resonates with me today.
What's the best coaching advice you received in your career?
If it can be typed, type it. If it can be in color, put it in color. If it can be shown on video as well as taught on the field, spend that extra time in the meeting room and show it as well as get them to execute it on the field. Just go that extra mile in everything you do and exhaust any and every opportunity you can to teach and to instruct, sell your program and sell the mission of the institution. I had a phone conversation of the day with a coach that he kind of challenged me on, you know, he asked me why was I interested in taking this job? And I told him, and he said, really, that's the reason why you wanted the job? And basically I was just making small talk and just, you know, talking about the resources that the school had and whatnot. And, he said, you build a place, you build a team with people. And that is my philosophy, is you got to build it with the right people. And essentially what I was doing is I was missing an opportunity to share the message and the goal and the philosophy of my program with him. Anytime you get an opportunity to sell your institution and sell your program, you take advantage of that. I don't care if you're talking to, you know, the conference commissioner or the mailman. You share what the message that you want going out from your program is going to be.
Coach, you're going to have those guys, whether they're interns or GAs, whatever your situation is at Birmingham Southern, who are doing it for the first time. They're becoming a coach, stepping out of that player's role. What advice do you give to that guy who's looking to make it long-term in this profession?
If you are having to be prodded to study film, if you're having to be prodded to make phone calls to recruits, if you're having to be prodded to get to know your players and build relationships with your players, then you're probably not going to make it in this profession. That stuff, you know, this profession is not for everybody. And if that stuff is not the part that's appealing to you, if increasing your knowledge of the game and relationshiping with your players and doing those types of things are not what's appealing to you, if you just want to stand out there with a cool little visor and a set of headsets on Saturday afternoons and look cool, you're not going to make it. So don't, you know, do an evaluation of what your motivation is. And if it's other than doing those things, then you might want to look at doing something else with your life.
Coach, what's a book you've learned from that you'd recommend to our listeners?
Book called Good to Great. In that book, you know, one of the big lessons you learn in that book is you think about what greatness is and you think, okay, the greatest enemy or the biggest enemy of greatness is not failure or lack of success. The greatest or the biggest enemy of greatness in that book, it talks about, is just being good. And there's a lot of times where a coach or a businessman or a dad or a husband or whatever the case may be is a good man or a good coach or a good banker or a good businessman. And that is the biggest enemy, because you can be satisfied with just being good. There are always things you can do to take your productivity and what you're trying to get done to another level. And you need to constantly be trying to find out and discover ways to enhance your ability. And don't just be satisfied with being good at those things, but always work towards striving for something that's greater. That's a great lesson I learned in that book there.
Coach, what's your favorite piece of coaching technology or something you'd like to incorporate into your workflow at Birmingham Southern?
Yeah, the whole drones thing is very intriguing to me. To be able to get in at whatever angle you want. There's another program that I've heard of where the soccer coach at Center College actually was educating me on this, and I don't know a lot about it, but it sounds like a fascinating concept where you can set up the cameras however you do it, and from one screen you can click and you can get a 360-degree view of what you're wanting to look at. So in our case, talking about a football game, you know, instead of having just a sideline shot and then a behind shot, you can actually zero in and zoom in at any angle, 360 degrees around the perimeter of the play, and see, you know, whether it be, was a guy offside, you know, was he aligned in the neutral zone? Where did he place his hands? You know, was, you can see it, exactly what depth was the route broken off at, and look and see, you know, almost, you can zoom in so close to where you can see quarterback's eyes as far as where's he looking actually, if, you know. You know, he was telling me about that, they used this in the soccer matches that he was coaching in down in, South America or Central America. And that it was revolutionary and it sounded incredible to me. And I'd love to be able to learn more about that and get that employed into what we're doing at Birmingham Southern.
Coach, obviously you're a very detailed guy. You have a passion for this game, and sometimes that passion leads us to spend an extraordinary amount of time on the job. So what have you learned about creating balance between the job and your health, your family, your faith, your friends, all those other things that have to be important parts of your life as well?
Well, the number one asset I have in that area is my wife is bought in and sold out to being a coach's wife. And she makes sure that, you know, she's kind of the glue that holds our crew together here at the house. If she's getting kids to soccer matches or to play practice or to school during recruiting. She's, you know, having to be basically a single mom sometimes. She loves that. She embraces that role and enjoys that. You know, when she sees us have success on the field on a Saturday, she knows that she had a vital part to being able to allow that to happen. And, you know, it's that's the key, is that whenever I come home at the end of the day, and instead of, you know, having to hear about how hard some of that stuff is, she's you know, she's understanding that that's kind of what she signed on for, and she loves it. And so that's probably the number one thing, is that my wife is all into what we're trying to get done here, and she understands that what she's doing impacts these kids that we're coaching, and she loves getting to know them and spending time with them. We always have every fall we have a pumpkin carving contest with our quarterbacks and receivers here at the house when I was at center. They come over and they come up with the most creative way to decorate a pumpkin or to carve out a pumpkin. And then all my kids' friends, they come over and they serve as the judges. And so it's kind of a big family affair, you know, and they always, there's always a lot of bribing of the judges with candy bars and always a lot of gearing the carvings to whatever, you know, might appeal to the neighborhood kids. And it's just good to see those guys in an off the field capacity where we're just kind of lighthearted and having fun, and it's not just always football all the time. So just creating those opportunities and those situations in the course of the season and in the course of the time that we spend with them while they're in college is important, that we get to know them on a personal level as well. So that's a great way that we obtain the balance of home and office and having those guys, having some carryover from one to the other, so that the office folks, they feel a connection to my family, and my family feels a connection to what we're trying to get done up at the office.
Coach, here's the final question. And obviously, you've experienced success at center. You guys have done very well. Now, as you move into your new job at Birmingham Southern, what is going to be the one thing that gives you guys the winning edge?
We're going to create a culture and create an expectation that it keeps the game in perspective, but that we expect to win. That we've got to create just a day-to-day existence to where, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in the campus community, whether it's the perception of our football team, that the expectation is to be successful. You can't walk out and feel like, man, I hope we win today. You've got to be able to walk out because of your preparation and because of your attention to detail and because of your knowledge and ability to execute your schemes. You've got to be able to walk out there and expect that you're going to have success. That's going to be the thing. And when we get to that point, the talent is going to be there. We're going to have a very talented group, but just that mental expectation of having that success is what's going to put us over the top. And that's going to come, you know, you've got to celebrate the little wins each day. And then those little ones turn into a little bit bigger ones. And then those bigger wins and those bigger victories, whether it be, you know, a team GPA meeting a certain goal, or if it be having a certain number of takeaways in practice for your defense, or if it be having a certain number or meeting a goal that you set for your receivers as far as lack of drops over the course of the day. You just celebrate those little victories to where they know that when we go out there, these are ways that we're going to be successful. We know we're going to be successful in these things, and those add up over time. And then you've got a culture of where your expectation is that there is going to be success. And once you get that going, now anything's possible. And that's where we're going to try to build what we're trying to build towards.
Coach, how can our listeners connect with you?
Best way would be email, man. tjwhite@bsc.edu. If you have any questions or if you have any ideas you want to share, or if you want to come down and visit with our staff or watch a practice, we'd love to have you. Birmingham's a great town, and there's a lot of fun things to do. And I think it could be a great opportunity for a staff to come and clinic and talk ball and share philosophies and hang out. I love doing that kind of stuff.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck at Birmingham Southern. I think you guys are going to do well based on all the things you share with us here. You definitely have a great outlook and a great philosophy, and wish you the best of luck.
Well, I sure appreciate it, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.